I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
Every single day I come in here, I think about winning. You know, I don't do this year round to come in and not make the playoffs. I'm sick of that shit, and I want to keep winning.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined, as always, by Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen. The Las Vegas Raiders are 1-0, taking down the Denver Broncos 17-16 on Sunday. They are hanging out in West Virginia. Vic's out fishing and skeet shooting and getting ready for Sunday's game against the Buffalo Bills. Vic, how's the atmosphere out there in West Virginia?
Dude, this morning I had breakfast at Shoney's, lovely breakfast bar. I hopped in my red pickup truck, blasted some Toby Keith, and went to practice. So I'm living the West Virginia dream, baby. Let's go. That's a trifecta here in West Virginia. That's the holy trinity.
When's the skeet shooting? Have you done that yet?
I'm trying, man. Maybe after practice today or maybe tomorrow, but I'm trying to book it. It's hard. It's popular, man. It's hard to book those things. I'm trying to get Dave Ziegler out there with me, and that's my goal. So we'll see what happens.
Do you have a mullet yet?
Not yet. Still wearing my cap. No mullet. My hair's too short for a mullet. I didn't think of that.
You did not prepare, man. Come on, you gotta prepare.
No, I didn't.
No mustache or anything. Come on, where's the facial hair?
No mustache. No.
I mean, you said the aftershave screwed you. You shouldn't have used it. You shouldn't have shaved.
Oh, that was rough, man. I shaved yesterday before practice for some reason, and the bugs were just having a feast on me. So that was not well done by me. But I survived. I'm a tough West Virginian, so I'm thriving.
All right, well, before we get into Sunday's matchup with the Bills, I mean, let's talk a little bit about the season opening win. To me, the biggest takeaway was, like, that was the full Jimmy Garoppolo experience. He played, I think, pretty well at times. He had the one throw that you're saying, what the fuck are you doing? And in the end, leads him on a game-winning drive. He made some, you know, some tough plays. He made the throws in the red zone that they needed to make. To me, especially for those who haven't watched him much with the 49ers, like, this was the full Jimmy Garoppolo experience. You've got some good moments, some bad moments, but in the end, you got to win.
Yeah, I mean, like, it wasn't a super highlight field day for the offense or anything of that nature. It was a pretty weird game overall. I mean, I think they only had like 6 or 7 possessions total for the entire game. Bunch of penalties on both sides. But, you know, I thought Garoppolo looked comfortable in the system, which I don't think surprises at all. Everything was pretty much on time. But as you said, you did see in some of those extended situations where, you know, maybe the first read wasn't there or the second read wasn't there. And, you know, he has to buy time a little bit. Things can kind of get a little spooky. I think we saw that in training camp a little bit, you know, him trying to force some throws into some tight windows and take some risks that he probably shouldn't do. And so, you know, that's something that, like you said, it's kind of comes with them. You know, it looks good for most of the time, but there might be one or two of those moments that are kind of like, what the hell are you doing? But, and then, you know, it didn't break their back in that game. He led a pretty impressive touchdown drive at the end of the game to win it. And then showed off his mobility a little bit on that run to ice the game, which I think surprised just about everybody in the press box. So nothing to write home about, but a solid, you know, debut for Garoppolo.
Like you said, this is pretty much what you're going to see from Garoppolo. And this is why, you know, fantasy owners probably want to stay a little away from Davante Adams, because they're going to be missing that deep ball part of his game. He passed on some opportunities downfield, and this is just what he does. You know, he's going to be accurate in the middle of the field. You don't want to see him taking off as much as he took off his game. I mean, in the first drive, you know, he had an injury scare, and we all know the concern with Garoppolo is if he could stay healthy. But he made the right plays at the right time, and they were able to win the game.
I thought you can see his poise throughout the game. That was, for me, the biggest takeaway. You can see why teammates follow him, and he's definitely a popular guy. I think he's very competitive. That's why he makes those plays that you kind of like cringe at, like, ooh, why did he throw that one? But he's trying to make a play. I think he tries to pick his spots, and clearly he knows he made a mistake in that one. But yeah, I thought it was an impressive debut for him. I think definitely went a long way in the locker room. Just it was a big win for him. The one thing I would say, everyone's talking about how this win was so important, different from last year, but you know, I look back in that game here in Denver, there in Denver last year in November, was the exact same game. Derek Carr led a late comeback. They won overtime. Defense made some plays late. So really it was a carbon copy of that game last year. So I'm not sure it was a huge step up from last year, but definitely 1-0 is 1-0, and we'll see if they can build off that this week.
We certainly have to give a lot of credit to the offensive line. The Broncos tried to bring a lot of pressure. We know they've got a good defense. I think I saw they blitzed something like 41% of Garoppolo's dropbacks, and he was not sacked, hit three times, I believe. And we've said it for 2 years in a row now. They've got to do something to upgrade this offensive line, and they were the surprise last year that they played a lot better than expected. And then here in week one, pass protection was the one thing. You know, last year they were a good run-blocking line. They weren't a great pass-blocking line. It's only 1 week. We'll see what happens as the season goes on, but a really good week one debut from the offensive line.
Yeah, they kept them clean. I mean, I think, you know, something that probably helps the offensive line when it comes to, you know, it was just 1 week, but, you know, this season that could help them in terms of pass protection is, you know, is Garoppolo, you know, mostly being a short to intermediate ball thrower. There's not as many. I mean, Derek Carr, I think he was top five in air yards per attempt last season. There were a ton of deep shots, especially to Davante Adams. And obviously those shorter routes don't take as long to develop, so they don't have to hold up as long, I don't think, with Garoppolo's play style. And it was kind of interesting. I mean, they had a rotational spot at right tackle with Jermaine Eliminero and Thayer Munford, which usually doesn't work out the best when you're rotating offensive linemen, but it didn't really seem to be an issue regardless of which one of them was in there. You know, I think really the only, you know, downside for the offensive line, surprisingly, was the run blocking. They thought that had to do more with the Broncos sort of loading up the box and deciding that they just finally for once weren't going to get beat by Josh Jacobs, which has pretty much happened in every game he's ever played with the Raiders. And so they sold out on the run and sort of dared Garoppolo to be able to beat them. And, you know, ultimately the offensive line gave him enough time to be able to do so.
Yeah, and Josh Jacobs is a big part of the protection too, especially against a team that blitzes as much as they did. So it was good to see him, you know, not really drop off in that area after not having a training camp with the Raiders. And, you know, he had a huge block on the Jimmy Garoppolo scramble at the end of the game to get that critical first down. So credit to Josh Jacobs and his pass protection too.
The other guy who had a nice Raiders debut, we'll have to find out what his status is looking like. But Jakobi Meyers, obviously, toward the end of the game, he went out, got that hit to the head. He is in the concussion protocol. But before the injury, I mean, he's looking a lot like that could be Jimmy Garoppolo's go-to target. He had the two touchdowns. And I think he was targeted just as many times as Davante Adams. And, you know, we'll see how they adjust if they go into this week without him. But, you know, Jakobi Meyers certainly seems like a guy that Garoppolo, when he's going to lean on when he's out there. Hunter Renfro was not targeted. Michael Mayer was not targeted, I don't believe. But Jakobi Meyers looks like he could be a good number two weapon for this team.
Yeah, you can tell there's already a comfort level with him and Jimmy. I think the first touchdown pass, they're doing some, you know, communicating in line of scrimmage, and they kind of got him open. And I just think you see the confidence both guys have. And I think Devontae's happy also. I think if ideally he'll get some attention, Jakobi will on the other side of the field. So Devontae won't have all these, you know, complex coverage things against him, double teams and guys, you know, over the top. So I think it's good for Devontae long-term also. I think last year, I mean, I love Mac Hollins, but I'm not sure Mac Hollins had defenses worried about him too much going in or was part of the game plan, where Jakobi obviously will have to be going forward.
Part of it is, you know, that attention that Davante Adams draws. I mean, teams are going to bracket him. They're going to have a safety over the top. And so what that means is, you know, the rest of the guys get a lot of one-on-ones. And given the way that the Raiders were playing against the Broncos, a lot of, you know, two back sets and two tight end sets, it was really just Davante and Jakobi out there for a lot of those snaps. And so he's the guy, you know, getting those one-on-ones. And, you know, clearly he showed he was able to win in those situations. You know, I think it was interesting to see, you know, how few snaps Renfro got. The targets doesn't surprise me, given just he just wasn't out there a whole bunch because of the way that they were playing. So I'm kind of interested to see if that's something that, you know, moving forward, if the Raiders are confident in just having Jakobi and Davante out there and want to play in these heavy sets the whole year, you know. But I think with Renfro, it's definitely something that something to watch moving forward, you know, his whole playing time situation and how much he's used in offense.
Jacoby was asked to be kind of either the number one or kind of the 1B in New England a lot. And, you know, I don't think he's fit for that role. And I think Adams is by far the best receiver he's ever played with. So, you know, being a true number two, I think that's a good fit for him. And, you know, obviously we saw him feasting on the team's number two, on the Broncos' number two corners and on one-on-one coverage. So I think this could be a big year for him. And I think that number two role really, really fits him.
As far as Renfro, we've been talking about that all offseason, how, you know, his future here, and I wasn't too sure what it was going to be. I think, you know, he had 13 snaps, I want to say, and that's with Trey Tucker not being active. So Tucker will be active at some point. So I don't think those snaps are going to skyrocket in the future. I think maybe we're looking at 25 maybe, but I don't think Hunter's going to have a big role this year in the offense.
I mean, I guess the big question will be Sunday if they play without Jacoby Myers, which, considering where he's at in the protocol, seems like a decent possibility. Will he have a bigger role then? If he doesn't have a role or much of a role with Myers out, then that would certainly indicate where Hunter Renfro's season is heading, and be interesting to see what they do with him. I mean, is he, if there's interest in him out there and he's a guy that you're really not going to use much, you would seem to think he could be a guy that could be moved before the trade deadline, but you know, we're getting too far ahead of ourselves there. Let's talk a little bit about this defense. Early on, we saw some of those frustrating moments where they couldn't get off the field. Ultimately, you know, late in the game, they were able to do what they needed. We saw Nate Hobbs, 12 tackles, moving back into that slot corner position. What were our big defensive takeaways?
The pass rush wasn't really effective at all in the first half, and I think that's why, you know, he didn't throw for a ton of yards or anything, but Russell Wilson got off to a pretty hot start in terms of, you know, just completing a lot of his passes and being able to move the ball, put some pressure on the secondary to be able to hold up a little bit longer, which, you know, we all identified was a concern going into the season. We talked up the defensive line all offseason, like they're going to have to be the key to this defense. And so, you know, without Chandler Jones out there, put a lot of pressure on, even more pressure on the non-Max Crosby defensive lineman. And at least in the first half, it just wasn't there. I think they got a little bit better in the second half, you know, and I think we saw that Wilson and the Broncos offense slowed down then. And so I think it just, you know, showed me that what we talked about all offseason is the truth. You know, I mean, if this defense is going to come and go as this defensive line goes. And so, you know, they don't really have much of a margin for error. They got to be pretty much on it. Otherwise, you know, I think we saw like this defense is going to struggle to get off the field at times.
Yeah, I thought the front four pass rush was pretty disappointing, you know, considering what we saw offseason and kind of the hype around maybe having a really strong four-man pass rush. Patrick Graham had to blitz more in the second half, and I think blitzing was more effective. But, you know, I thought the coverage was particularly impressive in the second half and what really was what won them the game. They were able to make some really nice open field tackles. They were able to be sticky in the back half, cause Wilson to hold the ball. And a big thing was they finally contained Wilson. In the first half, they did a poor job of containing him in a pocket. He got out and made some plays. But in the second half, they did a better job of keeping him in a pocket. And the secondary did a good job of staying sticky on the back end.
I thought guys stepped up. I thought Jerry Tillery did a good job. And he played outside for Charlie Jones and made a sack and made some other plays. I thought Diablo played really, really well and made some plays. I thought Spillane held up okay. Secondary was definitely good as far as not giving up the big play. So I think it's, you know, for this defense, it's going to be baby steps. I think they had a rough first half, but made some adjustments. And again, I don't think Russell Wilson and the Broncos are a huge test without Jerry Jeudy, and their tight end got hurt early on. That was a big loss for them. So you have to have a little bit of salt. Yeah, I thought it was a good start, and we'll see if they can build on it this weekend in Buffalo.
Yeah, we were wondering what they would do up front with Chandler Jones out. You know, would they start Malcolm Kuntz? Would they start the rookie Tyree Wilson? They went for plan C with going with Jerry Tillery outside. Wilson did play 50% of the snaps. Kuntz only played, I think, 17 snaps, about a quarter of the snaps. But, Vic, what did you see from Tyree Wilson? You know, not a splashy debut by any means, but he is a guy that's still kind of working himself into shape, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't good. I mean, I'm going to give him a pass because he was hurt most of, you know, he was out most of training camp, and it's your first game in the thin air is tough, but he didn't look good. I mean, definitely, there was definitely the ball would be snapped, and it would be like, you know, time to go by before he actually started moving. So he was slow off the ball, which was a concern for scouts out of college during the draft. So, but again, I'm sure there's some rust there, some nerves, but so I'm not going to be too harsh on him, but it wasn't wasn't an impressive debut for the first round pick.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't notice him in the backfield too much, which is obviously not a good sign. But again, like Vic said, you don't want to overreact too much. I mean, he's coming off of foot surgery last year, basically missed the majority of the offseason. It's going to take him some time to hit his groove, and he's being asked to, I think, fill a bigger role than they anticipated him doing this quickly early on in the year, just out of necessity with what's going on with Chandler Jones. And so don't want to jump off the ledge too quickly with Wilson. I know fans are we're going off on social media about, you know, how tired he looked and all that. Like, just calm down a little bit, guys. This is week one. But I guess on the flip side, you know, we got to talk about the other rookie on defense, you know, Ja'Quarian Bennett. I mean, he started at outside corner, played every defensive snap, and you know, he had a couple costly defensive pass interference penalties that led to touchdowns. But outside of that, he only gave up two catches for about 16 yards. You know, Marcus Peters, I thought, looked pretty solid out there as well. And so Nate Hobbs, as you mentioned earlier, I mean, he had 12 tackles, you know, being a big factor in the run game as well as, you know, holding up in coverage. And so I think the cornerback group, especially considering the pass rush really wasn't much of a factor. I think the fact that they, again, like the Broncos didn't have Judy and obviously Tim Patrick, Ted's Mans wasn't out there. But even still, I think, you know, given our expectations for the secondary coming into the season, I think it was a solid debut for them.
I thought Divine Diablo played pretty well, too. He had nine tackles. He had a key pass breakup in the red zone. He had a really nice open field tackle. So it was good to see him out there. I thought he was moving really well and was moving sideline to sideline quickly. So, you know, if he could stay healthy and he could kind of develop into a plus starter at linebacker, that's going to be huge for this defense.
You know, and just to hit briefly on Chandler Jones, for people who are not following every Instagram story he posts, I mean, there's really no update here. It's not, I know people ask sometimes what's going on with him, but, you know, we don't really know. I mean, he's away from the team, and that doesn't seem like it's something that's going to change anytime soon, but that's just kind of where we're at there.
So he's not going fly fishing with Vic anytime soon?
No, I invited him, but no response.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Let's look ahead to Sunday, heading to Buffalo. What's the travel like to get from West Virginia to Buffalo? How long is that, a drive? Is that, are you hopping another flight, or what are you doing there?
You know, that's a good question. I actually booked the flight.
It's Thursday. The flight. He doesn't even know.
Well, no. Hear me out. I booked the flight, but apparently there's a connection. So it actually takes shorter to drive. It's a 3-hour drive from Pittsburgh, I guess, which is a little north of here. So, yeah, I might change my plans, but it's a you can't really fly out of Lewisburg, West Virginia. You gotta go somewhere else. You gotta go to Richmond or you gotta go to Pittsburgh. I went to Pittsburgh, so there's some driving anyway. So I'll get there. I'm not sure how yet, but I might hang out here for a while, just enjoy my hit Sony's again for breakfast tomorrow. But we'll see.
All right. Well, looking ahead to that game, they're taking on the Bills, who, you know, obviously one of the favorites in a stacked AFC conference. They are coming on a short week, so that's a little bit of an advantage for the Raiders. They played on Monday night and lost to Zach Wilson and the New York Jets, obviously with Aaron Rodgers going out. And, I mean, we're not going to beat around the bush. Josh Allen did not play well. He turned it over, I think, 4 times. Certainly he's playing against a very, very good New York Jets defense, but it's going to be a Bills team that, you know, they're always going to be, you know, one of the better teams in the conference, you figure, but they're going to be pretty pissed off after losing that opener, especially the way that Josh Allen played.
Yeah, I mean, he was looking like Zach Wilson out there. I mean, he's doing his best impersonation, but, you know, I think Josh Allen, obviously, the last few years, he showed himself to be an elite quarterback, but he always has that chaos to him. You know, early on in his career, a bunch of bad turnovers and fumbles, and I think people kind of forget, just because he, you know, he has a bunch of yards and touchdowns, like he still does that stuff pretty often. Like, you know, in the playoff loss last offseason, last season he had a similar meltdown. And so he is a guy that, you know, even if they're going against an inferior team, like, he can keep them in the game with some of the mistakes that he makes. You know, obviously you're not going to count on him having that kind of game every week at this point in his career. But, you know, the Raiders, you know, they were a team, you know, this offseason, we talked about them getting their hands on the ball and forcing turnovers and things of that nature. We didn't, you know, really see that against the Broncos. And so, you know, maybe this is an opportunity for, you know, if Allen takes some risks and doesn't really respect their back end, if they can make some plays and maybe, you know, give the Raiders a shot in this one. I think for them to win this one, they're going to have to get some more turnovers out of Josh Allen.
We all know that Josh Allen could be chaotic, but we saw like an insane version of that against the Jets where, like, yeah, it wasn't just interceptions where he was just throwing up into obvious, you know, not double coverage, but where, you know, exactly where the safety is. But it was just like the way he was protecting himself. I mean, like there was a third and 10 where he was 5 yards away from the sticks and he tried to jump over a defender to try to make it there. So, it was just crazy what we saw on Monday night. Maybe it was just the first game and he was trying to go out there and make some big plays. But, you know, I think after that type of game, we likely will see a big mentality change against the Raiders. So, you know, that's probably bad news for Raiders if he's going to be more careful with the ball. But one difference that we saw with this Bills offense than last season is they went a lot more 12 personnel. And we knew that was going to be the plan for them, after drafting tight end Dalton Kincaid in the first round. And actually, the Raiders were actually pretty decent in defending the pass against 12 personnel last season. They were 12th in EPA per dropback against 12 personnel. I expect Dalton Kincaid to be a much bigger part of the game plan against the Raiders. He got 4 targets for short yardage against the Jets, but I think they're going to target him a lot against the Raiders, and it'll really kind of test this linebacker crew to see if they could defend tight ends against the pass.
I think if you look at Josh Allen's body language, like both during the games and after the games at press conferences, it's not good. I don't think, and obviously there was a drama with Stephon Diggs in the offseason. There's some carryover to that. So if he is mad, is that a good thing if your quarterback is mad and he's trying to prove something? Because the way he plays, he's got to chill out a little bit. And I think you mentioned he's got to try and protect the ball a little more. I'm not sure he can. I'm not sure he knows how to do that. Or that's his game. So obviously the Raiders defense probably, he's looking at it like, oh, I can exploit some of the things in his defense. They attack the middle of the field, like you said, and get some plays deep with Diggs and Gabe Davis. So again, it's a really good test for Raiders defense. I think they'll hang around. I think it'll be a close game. I don't think it'll be a blowout. So we'll see.
The Jets sacked Allen 5 times, and the Bills' offensive line has certainly been kind of one of the areas of concern. Is this an opportunity for the Raiders' pass rush to come alive? I mean, you know, they had 2 sacks last week against Russell Wilson. They're not going to be at that thin air in Denver. They're going to have this week here in West Virginia to acclimate. Do we see this as a game where maybe Crosby can get after him a couple times and the rest of the guys can join in?
This is not a good offensive line. So, and Josh Allen is going to hold the ball. So this is a great opportunity to kind of prove that first game with a fluke, and you know, maybe they can have a strong 4-man pass rush. And they're especially weak at the right tackle position where Crosby's going to rush off of, but we know that he's probably going to get a ton of chip help on that side. So somebody's going to have to step up. You know, it's either going to be Tillery or, you know, maybe even Tyree Wilson and maybe some of the interior guys, but somebody's going to have to step up. This is not a great offensive line. They're going to have to get some pressure on Allen.
The Bills, they aren't really known for running the ball. So, I mean, you pretty much know a pass is coming most of the time. Their offensive line isn't great. So, I mean, if they can't get pressure in this one, that's not a good omen for this defensive line. You know, I will be interested to see, like, you know, if they can't get pressure rushing four, is Patrick Graham confident blitzing Josh Allen in the way that we saw him, you know, start to blitz Russell Wilson with the Broncos a little bit. Obviously, that means more one-on-one coverage with guys like Stephon Diggs, and Allen has a cannon for an arm, but maybe you think he might throw you a couple of them with the way that he played last week. And so it'd be interesting to see how aggressive Raiders' defensive game plan is. But again, I mean, it's kind of going to sound like a broken record, but it all comes down to the defensive line, especially in this matchup against a team that's so reliant on the pass. I mean, you always have to respect the run, but I don't think their run game is much of a threat. And so, you know, it seems like the perfect scenario for the guys to just pin their ears back and get after them.
In terms of the Raiders offensively, seeing what they can get going on the ground, they only averaged 2.1 yards per carry on Sunday against the Broncos, and part of that is skewed because Jimmy Garoppolo somehow ended up, between scrambles and all that, end up with, and you know, quarterback sneaks, ended up with 9 carries for 11 yards. Jacobs himself, 19 carries, 48 yards, and only 1 carry for our guy Zamir White. In terms of if he's going to have a bigger role, he is on pace for the exact same amount of carries as he had last year, 17. And, you know, we talked about the idea of getting him more involved and kind of keeping Jacobs fresh. But as we talked about coming out of the preseason, he didn't really do anything in the preseason that demanded that he have a bigger role and that they really turned this into a situation where they split carries. And so it does not look like we're going to see much of Zamir White anytime soon.
Yeah, but I mean, even for Jacobs, I mean, the run game really couldn't do anything against the Broncos. Like, they didn't really have, I mean, I think they're, I'm pretty sure their longest run was one of those Garoppolo scrambles in that game.
Garoppolo's 8-yard scramble was the longest run. Jacobs' longest run was 7.
Yeah, obviously not good. I think because the Broncos did load the box, and the Bills are kind of like the exact opposite of that in terms of their defensive philosophy. I mean, they're pretty much exclusively play nickel on defense, which means 5 defensive backs and only 2 linebackers. And I'll be interested to see if the Raiders come out again with those heavier personnel sets with a full back with multiple tight ends. And if they're like, all right, if you're going to stay in nickel, we're just going to try to run it down your throat. That seems like, especially if somebody like Jacoby Myers, don't want to speculate too much, but if he can't play due to a concussion, that would seem like the most prudent game plan for them on offense, is to try to exploit, you know, those light boxes against the Bills and see if they can have some more success on the ground.
I think they're just going to pound the ball. I think that's the recipe for me. Just give Josh Jacobs a lot of work. And I think you saw last week the Jets ran the ball pretty well against the Bills. I think that's got to be the game plan, and have Jimmy some play action off of that. But you got to establish a run early to have a chance in this game, and I think they will.
Yeah, and they play a lot of too high defense, so they're not going to have that extra safety in the box. And Josh McDaniels obviously has a ton of experience game planning against the Bills with his time in New England. And, you know, they typically run the ball pretty heavily against the Bills. So I think that's what we're going to see. And I think for them to have a chance in this game, the run game is going to really have to be really efficient. And Josh Jacobs, I think, has to get over 100 yards in this game for the Raiders to win.
One update we'll give Vic. I know you, Dr. Tafer, had determined that even though Devontae Adams did not practice on Wednesday and Garoppolo was limited with the ankle, that no concerns there. Thursday, was Devontae back out there for practice?
He was. So I think Dr. Vic's prognosis was accurate. I think that everyone's fine. I believe all those guys will play. I think probably see Merrick as a limited guy today to practice, but I think he'll play. And I think DeAndre Carter is going to have a role this week. So Devontae, Jimmy, I'm trying to think who else is on the injury report. I think that's all of them.
Jacoby, obviously.
Yeah, no real injuries to worry about.
Except for Jacoby Myers, of course.
Yeah, except for Jacoby, who's no update in Jacoby. I haven't seen him out there. He's still in the concussion protocol. I'd imagine tomorrow we'll have a real update on him if he's out there tomorrow. He's going to give it a go, or we'll know tomorrow for sure if he's not going to play. But there's been no hints as far as how he's doing in his protocol. So it'll be a surprise. And, well, everyone will be happy tomorrow, or they'll be a little sad.
All right, well, let's make some predictions here. Vic and Tashawn, you guys both predicted losses last week, and so you fell to 0-1. Ted and I are 1-0 in our picks, so we'll lead it off. Ted, you go ahead with your pick.
Yeah, I think Allen's going to bounce back, and, you know, just with the travel, and we don't know where Jacoby Myers is. I think the Bills end up winning this one double digits, probably, I would say 31-21.
Josh Allen, I can't imagine having another game that bad. I do think he will turn over. I think Marcus Peters gets his first interception as a Raider, but I see the Bills offense coming alive. I'm going to go with a 35-24 Bills win.
I guess us the losers, we get to go now.
losers bracket, yeah.
I got to like hype themselves up by like picking the Raiders to win, and they both just like, they're going to get double-digit losses. I'm right there with y'all. I mean, I think the Bills are going to win. I got them 31-20, so pretty similar score to Ted. I just think their offense is too much for the Raiders to keep up with, you know, with the anticipation that it seems like Myers is probably unlikely to play. You know, I think it's just going to be hard for them to keep up with the Bills on the road. And so I think Josh Allen might give him one interception, but he might give him like 3 touchdowns too. So going to be a humbling loss for the Raiders.
If you guys could only see our screen, you could see the disgust on Vic's face as he's shaking his head and just looking at us with disdain as he's coming in to the rescue here. Finish it off, Vic.
What's the point spread on this game, Vic?
I think 8.5.
I think it's down to 8.5 now. So, being here in the lush Allegheny Mountains with the Raiders, I kind of feel like that camaraderie. I might pick them for the upset. But I'm not going to. But cover the spread. I got 30-23 Bills.
Oh, come on.
30-23 Bills.
Are you like Devontae Adams, where you wouldn't have come to this part of the country if you hadn't been dragged here? But it's green. It's beautiful. It's green.
It is beautiful. I mean, definitely this place is we're at the Greenbrier, which is a really like presidents have stayed here. It's been here for like 300 years or whatever, and it's really a fancy place. I'm here right now at the coffee bar lobby. Gotta not be too loud, but it's located in White Sulphur Springs. White being the key word. It's supposed to be the whitest place I've ever seen. But it's nice.
Everything about it just sounds like a plantation. So I mean,
I didn't say that out loud.
I'll say it for you.
But some of the players have been a little alarmed at the dress code. Like you have to have a sport coat to have dinner in the main room, which is a lot of these guys are wearing hoodies and shorts.
Garoppolo's like, oh yeah, I didn't bring one. You've been here. You were here last year, bro. You've been here twice before. Like he knows the rules, and then he's acting like, oh yeah, I didn't. I'll have to go get one.
But he's not worried about anything. Like he's playing it cool. He isn't worried about too much outside of his own control. So he's that's kind of par for the course for him. But it is beautiful. I mean, you look outside and it's green everywhere and the sun and it's lovely. So I almost got hypnotized and picked the Raiders to win, but I couldn't quite do it.
All right. Well, the Raiders are in first place by themselves in the AFC West. We can say that after week one. Will we be able to say that much longer? We don't know, but we're going to say it now because it's true, and enjoy it while it lasts, and we'll see what happens on Sunday.
All right, y'all. See ya.
Country roads take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia. I can't sing too loud because people will throw me out of this place, but anyway, good luck to you guys. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you guys Sunday. Country roads take me home to the place I belong.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.